Welcome, everybody, to Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 135. Today's date is October 25th. 6 more days to Halloween, and I'm not here to talk about wrestling. I am here to talk about horror movies, specifically some zombie movies. I'm here with Chris. We're doing our monthly podcast. Chris, how the hell's it going?
What up, yo? I just turned 39, so it's going pretty good, man. Another year older. I wish I could say another year more wiser, but, you know, whatever.
Happy belated birthday. I completely saw that on Facebook, and then I was like, oh, I gotta wish him a happy birthday, and then 2 seconds later, it was gone from my memory, so I'm an asshole.
Well, I knew that, so I don't have to really forgive you for it.
Thanks.
But I do anyways.
Dude, I got in the mail today. I want to do some stuff tomorrow. I'm hopefully going to try out some various face painting stuff, but I also ordered myself a GIMP mask. I felt you would appreciate that for some ridiculous reason. Like Pulp Fiction.
I don't know what channel it was on, but for some reason I turned on the TV yesterday and it was right at that scene with Bruce Willis, like, where he chooses to go back in.
Yeah, okay.
He's going through and he grabs like the baseball bat and then
the katana.
The chainsaw and finally the katana.
Yeah. fuck, man. I always crack up. Well, gonna have to go wake him up now, won't we? I don't know, man. That's such a good movie, so.
Whose bike is that?
It's not a bike, it's a chopper.
Whose chopper is that?
It's Zed. Zed's dead.
Zed's dead, baby. Dude, have you seen the meme that, like, is basically Mike and 11 from Stranger Things, and they're like, this is what they look like grown up, and they show Bruce Willis and his bitch? I saw that, I was like, oh, that is fucking hilarious.
That's pretty awesome.
Because Mike really does look a lot like her in the face, too. Like, it was great.
That's pretty awesome.
So, all right, so today we're going to kind of discuss zombie movies. Originally, the group was all supposed to contribute, and since people kind of didn't, me and Chris are just going to talk about shit we like, and we don't give a fuck about, you know, other people's opinions. We're just going to make ourselves happy.
Yeah, that was a really surprising one for me to not see a lot of people contribute, because it's such an easy, category, and it's become, you know, relatively super fucking popular since The Walking Dead came out, so...
Yeah, not only that, it's like there are so many to choose from. So many, and I mean, hell, there's some that flew under the radar that managed to watch this October. So, one thing I want to say, and I know we're going to bring up this film, but damn, I feel like I really missed the boat on this on the soundtrack to 28 Days Later. I know, I'm pretty sure you had it on your top five, right?
Yeah, I love that ending. Like I think if you took the music out and you just watched the ending, you'd be like, "Oh, what the fuck's going on?" But you put that music in, or it's the same with the scene where he first starts getting chased through empty London, and you're like, "You know what's going on here?"
Yeah, it's really good. It's something that I hadn't seen either movie probably since, I don't know, say 2 or 3 years since, like, when they came out. And actually, I had the double pack Blu-ray. I took the wrapping off today. I don't even know how long I've had that. I've had it for well over a year, I'm sure. So, yeah. With that being said, let's go right into your top five list, and then we'll kind of go get to mine and go from there.
All right. So, number five, I had Shaun of the Dead. I've seen it pretty high up in a lot of lists. I like it. I think it's funny. I don't think it's the greatest zombie movie ever, but they did, you know, a surprisingly fresh take for when it came out and making a funny, serious horror movie.
You know, I always see that Shaun of the Dead gets a ton of love, and Zombieland's way more hit or miss. I really put them almost on the same fucking pedestal. I don't know, like, I love both of them for various reasons, and probably Shaun of the Dead maybe a hair more, just because I like the soundtrack.
Oh yeah, the soundtrack is great. I love, you know, a lot of the British humor. Like, I love the Bill Murray scene in Zombieland. It's one of the funniest things I've fucking ever seen. But a lot of, like, the hijinks. Like, I was watching, reading your review this month over what you were rewatching it, and I agree. Like, Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg together are a good part of the movie with the rules, and what's, and as soon as you add the girls in, and it just becomes like a, hey, let me be like a substitute Michael Cera kind of thing. It kind of goes downhill a little bit for me.
Yeah, and I think probably that's why Shaun of the Dead is preferred, is because at no point it felt wholly original in so many ways, whereas Zombieland, you could just be like, yep, this is, as you said, a Michael Cera type film, and that was the trap, so.
It also introduced me to a lot of British actors who have become relatively popular since then, but, like, I don't ever remember seeing anything with Simon Pegg or Nick Frost or Bill Nighy or Peter Serafinowicz, you know, before that, but since then, now they're fucking, especially Simon Pegg, fucking everywhere.
Yeah, I've seen Simon Pegg in shit that I had no idea he was in, so yeah, it was great. It's a movie that I was glad that they never did the sequel, because I feared that they were going to do a sequel, and I don't think it would have been good.
I mean, they kind of did, like, that End of the World trilogy with that, and then Hot Fuzz with the cultists, and then, what was it, the one they did about the drinking with aliens and
I don't remember. I remember Hot Fuzz, and I really liked Hot Fuzz. I don't remember. You know, I should just have IMDb open at all freaking times during these podcasts.
The World's End. Yeah, that's what we should just start doing. Yeah. I don't remember what the guy's name was, but.
You know what? This is off topic, but it's horror movie related, and I just want to vent very quickly that when I go to IMDb, on the fucking homepage, there is a goddamn video about LeBron James trying to get together with what's-his-nuts, Victor something, I think. I don't know. The dude that is suing Sean Cunningham for Friday the 13th ownership. And God damn it, it's going to piss me off if LeBron James has a hand in bringing back Friday the 13th without Jason, nonetheless.
Yeah.
I already posted about it on Facebook. The dude's name, Victor Miller, he is fucking everything up as far as the Friday the 13th video game, which I truly love, but you can't even get any more DLC because of the stupid lawsuit. So, royally kind of pissed off at that dude, and I've never liked LeBron, so yeah, I really wanted to vent about that, because I love Friday the 13th. Like, they're not great movies, but, you know, they're comfort films, if you will.
Okay, anyways, so move on. I'm just kidding, man.
No, we can move on to your
Did you have anything else to say about Shaun of the Dead?
No, I mean, last thing I'll say about Shaun of the Dead is I don't know if I was if I knew too much about Don't Stop Me Now. I don't think I'd ever really listened to that song until I'd seen that movie, and yeah.
You know, I had heard it. I mean, my parents were big Queen fans when I was a kid, and like, I don't remember listening to so much of their stuff solo, but like, I remember like when Highlander came out and they did the soundtrack. All of a sudden, Queen was big, and then when Wayne's World came out later and Bohemian Rhapsody was part of it, yeah, Queen got big again. And then, what was it, Mighty Ducks with We Are the Champions? You know, then, you know, so they were always in the background, but never, like, in the foreground significantly. But, yeah, I mean, I had heard that, but I wouldn't have known the name of the song until. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that song. Oh no shit, that's who that is.
Yeah, you know, I will say this. I hate when a movie gets so hyped up and I haven't seen it yet, because then I go in expecting the absolute worst. And this was one of the handful of movies I've ever seen that still managed to deliver to close to the hype at the very least. So, I don't know. Do you have that problem, like, where a movie gets too hyped and then you kind of worry about watching it?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends, too. I have a lot of free time at work, so I spend a lot of time on YouTube. So I end up seeing trailers usually almost as soon as they come out. And it depends. Like, certain movies, you have the trailers for a year, year plus. You hear stuff like, to make a perfect example, the last Star Wars. You know, I was excited for it. You know, I watched a lot of the 40th anniversary stuff that they did on the Star Wars thing in Orlando, where they did like the tribute to Carrie Fisher, and they had all the people who were still alive up on the stage, and they were talking about how the new one was going to subvert expectations and everything, and you know, all the pre-press from the critics was that it was great, and then you go and see it, and it's not what you're expecting, and there's just no way to not be let down, you know, from my point of view. I know there are a lot of people who liked it, but they can go fuck themselves.
I still haven't seen it, so I will go fuck myself, just not over this particular thing.
All right. So then for my number four, I think I had one that got your envy. It's Potty Pool.
One of the most underrated films of the past, I don't know, it's not even 10 years yet, right? It's, I can still say in the past decade.
Was it, I mean, was it, hold on, let me check. Was it 2007, somewhere around? 2008, so yeah, past decade, we're still good.
All right.
I you know what? I always forget him, too, when it comes to horror movies. Well, even just movies in general, but Stephen McCaddy's another guy who's underrated for what he does.
Yeah, and he was or still is in a real-life relationship with the main girl in this, right?
I don't know. I won't lie. Like, I don't keep up in his personal life, but...
I think I read that somewhere when I was researching this film when I first saw it, like, because I fell in love with the film. I'd heard it had, like, a decent rating, and that was about it, and then I saw it, and I was like, holy shit, I loved it. I recommended it to everybody, and I think all of, like, two people actually took me up on the recommendation, but... Yeah. So this film, it's basically, I mean, it's not just one set piece, but I mean, by and large, it's just takes place in a radio station.
Yep. A few scenes from the outside.
Yeah, like basically right in the beginning and toward the end, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't know, like at first I wasn't 100% sold, but Grant, Steven, who plays Grant, He was such an interesting dude that I had to keep watching. Like, he kept me going in that film, no matter what.
Just the idea, too, like, you know, it's a mind worm caused by language that causes people to turn into zombies. I mean, you know, that's original. It's not the same, biocanister dropped somewhere, or laboratory released, you know, some kind of biochemical weapon, or the dead are rising for some religious reason. You know, it's really interesting and not something I've seen done before.
Yeah. I can't think of anything remotely close to that. Like, I don't think that story's been told in any other capacity. It was just a smart take, and I mean, it couldn't have been a terribly expensive movie to make, and really, the only thing that sucks is that I don't think it's on Netflix anymore.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things I've seen, like, looking at your list, maybe you can do this going forward, but, like, the next time you do your top 100 for Halloween, or top 100 for October, put up where you're watching them from. I mean, I know a lot of them are your DVDs and whatnot, but the ones that you're streaming or whatnot, that way, if people are following along, they get a chance to at least watch what they're able to, you know, based upon what they have access to.
Yeah, there are times where I kind of remember that, and that's probably like one out of every eight films that I actually have the wherewithal to remember to do something smart like that. But yeah, you are right, because realistically, I've been streaming from Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Shudder, and Screambox, and possibly something else, plus the internet.
Yeah, that's a lot, you know, I gotcha.
So, yeah, I don't know. The Potty Pool, it's one of those films that actually I think I'm going to buy myself, like, for Christmas. I usually just buy myself shit for Christmas because, I don't know, I know what I want. So that might be a gift for me, for myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's well done. It's a cool idea. It's pretty self-contained. And it's Canadian, which, I guess we don't see a lot of really good Canadian horror. So, good job, guys.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough, man. All right. Without anything else, if you want to move on to number three, I'm excited for this one.
So number three, I think I watched on a recommendation from you, and it was fucking badass, which is Train to Busan, a Korean zombie movie. It's one of the first ones where I've seen a dude actually, like, martial arts attack zombies with his fists, which made my day, so I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it was one of those movies that I'd heard, you know, every month there's always those lists of, hey, new movies coming to Netflix or whatever, and I'd heard that this was kind of interesting, so I saw it, and I was like, all right, this is good. I hadn't seen many Korean films. Hell, I probably still haven't. It's probably like under 10 Korean films, but this was probably most definitely my number one or number two. I think The Host was also Korean, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, The Host is Korean. That's another pretty good one. Although, like you said, it's weird to classify what the movie is.
Am I wrong in saying that the monster looks a lot like a Demogorgon from Stranger Things?
Oh, no, it does.
Like they straight up, like, yeah. I don't know, I feel like they stole that fucking design. I don't know. I'm okay with it. I love it. I was just like, I didn't know. And yeah, Host is a tough, tough film to categorize. But Train to Busan's like, it's not horror. I mean, it's horror. No doubt it's horror, but it's like an action horror, which there's not a lot of action horrors, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it's your typical thing in regards to, like, the characters. You got the detached dad trying to save the daughter. You got the family trying to stick together with the pregnant wife. You've got the one dude who just thinking about surviving himself that sacrifices fucking whoever is near him to, you know, get what he wants, manipulates everybody. But the action scenes were awesome. I mean, the set pieces, like, they did a pretty good job of ratcheting up the tension, too. I mean, I'm thinking, like, the one where they're crawling through the luggage racks and trying not to make any noise in the, well, it's going through the dark tunnel. I'm like, yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I really had zero complaints. It's one of those movies. Is it still, I don't know.
It's still on Netflix. Still on Netflix.
That's still something I might watch before the end of this month or next month. I don't really need an excuse. Like, people think that I need an excuse to just watch horror movies. And I'm sitting there like, nah, I'm going to go well over 100 by the end of this month anyway. And every year, I get to like October 31st. I'm like, I'm exhausted. And November 1st comes on, I'm like, I'm going to watch a horror movie. I don't know why, but I do out of spite every year. So I'll rewatch it again this year, I think. If you ain't got anything else, we can move on.
Nope. Let's move on. And number two I had as The Crazies, the remake, not the original. Although the original was okay, too.
I haven't seen The Crazies. I've had it start to stream twice now, and I've gotten sidetracked. And it's a movie that I really want to pay attention to, but I don't know. I already have an attachment to The Crazies. I already do. Who was it? It was Timothy Olyphant, and was there anybody else that was big name at all?
The wife is Radha Mitchell. She's been in a bunch of shit.
Oh, yeah, she was in Denzel Washington, Man of Fire. She was
in Pitch Black, the first one.
Okay, yeah.
I want to say the daughter was, I think, Danielle Panabi. I think she's one of the people who's on The Flash on CW, if you follow that shit.
No, but okay. I know what you're talking about, at least.
And, like, his deputy isn't a big dude, but I've seen him in a bunch of horror movies as, like, you know, that kind of supporting role. Or even a couple of shitty ones where he's had, like, the lead guy role. So, but yeah, no, it wasn't like a super well-known popular cast, but damn, they did a good job of, like, non-zombie zombies. Especially ones that were able to think for themselves, so.
Yeah, I remember I was working for Liberty ARC, and I was out with a dude, and he's like an old farm boy, and he saw the case, and on, you know, on the cover, there's the pitchfork, and he's like, I want to see that. So I was like, all right, that's cool. I'm down with that. You know, he did like his horror movies too, and that was the first time I saw it. God damn, dude, I've seen this movie 5-6 times since it's been out. I think I made it my last movie that I watched a year or two ago. It's always, I don't know, it's just really well done, and Bring Me Sunshine at the end, after everything, that song for some reason ties everything together for me.
That song with the, you know, the overview and the words you're seeing and like the shit spreading is so fucking depressing, but it's such a contradiction. It's just like, and then like, I know you've talked about liking Timothy Oliphant. I fucking love him, but when he first came out, I was like, this dude can barely act. Like, I was reading your Scream 2 thing, and I was like, that guy is, like, so over the top. The only scene he was decent in was the one where he's like, Godfather 2.
Oh, the film class discussion thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was not a very good actor in Scream 2. No doubt. He's a guy that's grown on me throughout the years, no doubt.
Yeah, seeing him in this, seeing him in Justified, seeing him in Deadwood, seeing him in Santa Clarita Diet, he has grown a lot, and this was one of the first things I saw him in where I was like, okay, you know, this guy's more than just the dude in Go and Scream 2, so.
Oh, Go. I really liked Go.
It was actually the second DVD I ever owned. I got 3 for my birthday 1 year, and that was the second one I opened. So.
What was the first one you ever got?
Young Frankenstein.
Oh, nice. I think my first one was South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut. And I think my second one was Reservoir Dogs. And then I made sure when I got Blu-ray, first Blu-ray I got was, it was Sin City and Reservoir Dogs. I got them same day. So
Reservoir Dogs. That's a good copy, yeah.
Yeah.
The third one I got that day was a Bruce Lee box set. Ooh. I don't remember what the first Blu-ray I got was, but yeah. I actually still have all those CDs because I haven't completely gone over to Blu-ray for everything yet, since it's to replace everything I have in Blu-ray would be, I don't know, a lottery.
Yeah, you know what? I want to comment on that because I've been contacting Vudu because I can't do their disc-to-digital thing via their app on my phone. And come find out, they have a limit of only transferring 100 films per year. And I'm like, so you guys don't want money? Because realistically, you already own the rights. Why would you limit people who want to spend money to keep buying your digital stuff? It really maddens me a little bit. Have you ever used their Vudu stuff at all?
No. Well, I mean, we have stuff like on my son's iPad, for example. My wife puts a bunch of stuff. So like when she's traveling and he passes out, she has something to watch. Or we've got, that's like the way we've accessed some of the non-Disney movies that we've downloaded for him. You know, like Epic, I know, is one that we have that he watches through there. But I don't really use it too much because, you know, most of the time when I'm streaming something or watching something on a phone or a device, I'm watching something I haven't seen before rather than, you know, something I've already purchased, so.
Makes sense. I just like the idea, since I'm in a situation where I'd really like to create some space in my room. I have probably 800 DVDs and Blu-rays combined, and I was like, all right, for $2 for each Blu-ray, as long as they have it in their collection, I can scan it, pay $2, have it digitally, and then I could get rid of it if I wanted to. Because, yeah, everybody that has a lot of movies, in their heart, they know that there's some movies that they don't ever really need to own, or it was stupid to buy it. You know, that's just the way it is.
There was especially when I was in the military, I mean, that was what I would spend my money on. You know, like, oh, what came out this week? Oh, now I have 16 new things to watch. And maybe if you were lucky, you got 2 or 3 good movies out of them.
Yeah, I always had, like, once again, when I had a decent job, I remember I would go to Target or Walmart and I'd browse through the $5 section. If it was anything I was remotely interested in, I was like, all right, it's $5. What do I have to lose? And that's how the collection really kind of came to be. I still apply that logic today. If I see something that I'm remotely interested in that I haven't seen. I feel $5 is worth the gamble.
Yeah, $5 isn't bad for something. I mean, it's hard to find, I would say, $5 Blu-rays, but yeah, $5 DVDs are still a thing.
Sure, sure. So, back to the crazies. What was your favorite scene in the whole thing?
I liked the scene at the beginning at the baseball game. I mean, that was just a pretty good job of setting the tone. I like the one where the army's got them and they're strapped down and the guy with the pitchfork is going through, you know, just stabbing people and they're helpless. But I think overall my whole favorite thing was the three scenes within the car wash, gas station, auto shop, whatever the place was, where all three of them are going through, like, different shit with different people.
Yeah, the car wash was definitely my favorite scene. Like, they filmed that so well, and it was, I mean, like, I wasn't sitting here scared, but I sit there and I think, if I was in that situation, that would have scared the shit out of me. Like, that would have been absolutely fucking terrifying to be in that situation. So, and the baseball thing was great. It really did set the tone really, really, really well. So, it's one of those movies, though, that I don't even think it has that great of a rating on IMDb. It has a 6.5, which I guess is pretty good for a horror movie, since horror movies don't get a lot of love on there. I don't know. Do you use Rotten Tomatoes at all, or just IMDb?
I usually use IMDb just to look up stuff. I don't really worry about ratings too much. But the only time I've ever actually posted a review on both was for The Last Star Wars, where I... And, you know, but again, according to them, I'm a white male who hates women and minorities, and that's the whole reason I downvoted the movie, so...
Wow, we just got really deep there. Huh. You know, I do look at the ratings only because if it has a 3 or less, I'm probably not going to like it. I'll give anything above a 3, and I will watch stuff that gets below a 3, but it gives me an idea that of what to expect, like, you know, lower my standards just a little bit.
I mean, less than ratings, I look at the reviews, and if I see somebody, like, because I've seen people who say, this movie absolutely sucks, blah, 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 I'd never watch it again, 7 out of 10. I'm like, what kind of rating system is that? Or somebody who'll be like, this movie was a 9 out of 10, but there were plot holes, there were acting problems, it was shitty performances. So I'm like, you know, you got to read with a grain of salt. But, you know, if I look at something and I see this movie wasn't good, 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 then maybe I get the idea that the movie probably wasn't that great. And unless it's something that really interests me, I'm probably not going to watch it.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. I don't like the reviews where the person is clearly trying to be a pretentious asshole. Just stop. Like, you can use a couple of words, but when every sentence has some pretentious, like, you're trying to be fucking Ebert there, no, stop. Like, you're just not an IMDb. You're not getting paid. Stop it.
Yeah, no, if you're on IMDb, you're putting it out for other people to read rather than doing something like a film review for a class or a film school or something, you know, where, yeah, a lot of, you know, the pretentious ideas can be discussed with people who understand what you're talking about. But the average person who comes on here is just looking to see, oh, should I go see this? Is this any good? What's not? Yeah, so...
Yeah, like, what's the pros and the cons? You know, just the main things. And for me, I mean, everybody has their own way of doing a film review as far as, like, a rating goes. I've always been of the belief that there's no such thing as a perfect film, so obviously gimmicky, I have the highest rating be a 9.2. But really, I don't believe, like, every single film I could nitpick something minor, like, no matter what. So, I don't even care so much about that. My whole other aspect of my rating system is, if you're going to give it over 5, you should be prepared to rewatch it. Like, you should be okay with the idea of rewatching it. Otherwise, why are you saying it's above average?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There's very few movies that I've seen only once that would rate super highly. I mean, there are a couple that are like got me in the feels. I'd say like, yeah, I would never watch it again, but it was at least worth watching once for everybody kind of shit. But
yeah, there are a handful of them there, and you know, that's the whole thing. There's exceptions to the rules and all that stuff. I hear you. Moving on, what do you got? Where we're at? We're at number one for you, right?
Number one is probably one of my all-time favorite faux zombie movies ever, with 28 Days Later. Like you said, between the soundtrack, it was one of the first ones that came out, you know, relatively recently, where the zombies were fast.
Was it the first, or what? I thought it was.
I think it was. I mean, the fact that they were able to empty out London for portions of the thing. I mean, I don't know if the people are necessarily great, but again, it was another movie that introduced me to, like, Cillian Murphy. I forgot what the woman's name was, but she's been in all the new Bonds. One of the first kind of big roles for Brendan Gleeson, you know, so it was just really solid. Christopher Eccleston was good. The military guys were realistic in the fact that they were fucking assholes and probably would have, like you said, their shit made sense, but...
Yeah. Everything about it, it goes in sections, and the progression of it makes total sense. It's really one of the better opening, like, 10 to 15 minutes of a horror film, in my opinion. It really has to be considered that, and then it does change locations, it changes tones or whatever, but it always progresses and makes sense, and I think that was the biggest, above everything else, I think that was the biggest triumph, is that it made sense.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, Danny Boyle, did it, and, you know, I've liked him since Trainspotting and whatnot, but, he had a really good sense of tone, too. Like, okay, we're going to run you through a whole bunch of shit, and then we're going to take a step back. And then we're going to run you through a whole bunch of shit and take a step back. And, I think the pacing was great. I think the zombies were great. I just really liked it. I mean, I remember when I saw it, I was really blown away. And that was pretty much, I would say, about the time that the resurgence of zombie movies started. Because I want to say, I think, was it Dawn of the Dead came out a year or two later? After this, maybe the next spring?
Dawn of the Dead, I believe, was 2004. This was 2002. And then Land of the Dead was 2005 or 2006. And Shaun of the Dead was somewhere in that frame.
Yeah, same thing with, like, Resident Evil, I want to say, came out around for, you know, like, the more popcorn action-y flicks. So, yeah, I mean, I really think that this kicked off the resurgence of that as a subgenre of horror.
Yeah, absolutely. The rage virus idea, whatever. I mean, how many times have we seen it now? This was, as far as I know, the originator of it, and it really made us rethink what a zombie could be. Because honestly, I don't know. I never gave any thought about it. I never sat there. I was like, oh, well, zombies are just slow, plodding assholes. I never once considered them just being super fly pissed off and able to run and probably be infinitely faster than me. Like, that's terrifying. Like, normal zombies, whatever. They're just slow and plodding. But rage virus zombies, that shit is terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at, like, Night of the Living Dead, the original, and you compare it to the shit chasing you in these, and you're like, damn. Yeah. Barbara could have gotten away.
Yes. And although it's not in my top five, it was close. I mean, 28 Weeks Later was one of the all-time best horror movie sequels, I think. It was so good. It was really, really good. And it had probably a more star-studded cast. It wasn't as good, but it was really good. I don't know. I wanted to get
props. It was a pretty good sequel. It wasn't as good as the first one. It did have a better cast. It had a more well-known cast. And it's just too bad that, you know, there was disagreements between the parent company and Danny Boyle, so we'll never get the third one, you know, the 28 months later. which was supposed to be a trilogy, I guess, eventually after the first one's success.
I remember hearing that it was supposed to be a trilogy, and I've been waiting for years, and I kind of just gave up. I didn't really know the backstory to it, but I mean, the cast of the sequel, it's Robert Carlyle, Rose Byrne, Jeremy Renner, Harold Perrineau, or Perrineau, I don't know how to pronounce it, and
I think it's Perrineau.
Perrineau, okay, and then Idris Elba. People that may not know, probably everybody knows who everybody is. They may not know who Harold is, but Harold is fucking awesome.
He's just been in a ton of shit. I mean,
may not know him by name, but they would know him if they saw him. I would say.
No, I mean, he was in the second and third Matrix. He was in Constantine. He was in
Sons of Anarchy.
Lost. Yeah, I mean, just a ton of shit.
I think Sons of Anarchy is why I first, first took a really good liking to him, and then I started seeing him in all these other things. I was like, no shit, there's Pope. So I always just call him Pope. I know he's also a big player in Oz, which I never watched Oz.
I've seen like two or three episodes, and it wasn't bad. But having been like a cop, I don't necessarily want to watch things that glamorize prisoners. Not that Oz did that, but like Sons of Anarchy. I mean, that my wife's watched the entire series two or three times. I'm like, it's about a bunch of fucking criminal. I mean, so that's me. I understand if that's weird for most people to understand, but
I've had this discussion with another buddy of mine that's a cop, and it took me the longest time to really wrap my head around it. Like, I was hearing what he was saying, but I was just like, dude, it's just nonsensical bullshit. Like, he basically kind of had a very similar viewpoint as you, and years later, I kind of got it. It makes sense. It does. I would imagine like something similar may apply to like war movies. Do you think?
For me, scary movies. I know a lot of people. I think we had this discussion with the Devil's Rejects. Like, root for the bad guys. Me, I'm rooting for the good guys.
My buddy was doing the same thing. He's like, "Why are you so?" I'm like, first of all, fucking Freebird's playing, okay, man? And, like, I just went on this stupid spiel that had no value whatsoever, but I totally went on the spiel, because that's what I do.
I find a good, well-written villain fascinating, but, I don't want to be him. I don't want to root for him. I'd rather see them get their comeuppance. But, it is what it is. I don't even remember. How the hell did we even get here? Oh, Harold Perrineau.
The Pope, yeah. We got here from him. But why don't we talk a little bit about some of your honorable mentions?
All right. So, I mean, we got to go with the Night of the Living Dead, the original. I mean, George Romero started it all off. It's a classic. I mean, I think if you're a horror fan, you probably can quote at least one of the lines from the movie. I wasn't necessarily a big Romero fan for everything else he's done. I mean, I can appreciate it, but if it's a choice between, like, watching some of his later stuff or, football, I'd probably choose football. I did like the Dawn of the Dead remake. I thought they did some interesting stuff, and that was what's his name? Snyder, wasn't it?
Zack Snyder.
And I never realized that until I went back, after I saw it on, maybe after 300 came out, I was like, oh, holy shit, yeah. I can see the whole style starting there and evolving from that. I know you've watched The Girl with All the Gifts. That was one I watched on your recommendation, and boy, did that ending leave me depressed, but it was a really good movie. Again, another example of a different type of zombies. Although I guess that's the same shit that the video game The Last of Us had the people becoming infected with, so.
Like the fungal, whatever?
Yeah, the cordyceps, whatever. I mean, because it's a real life thing with insects. Like, ants who get infected by that shit will turn on their colonies and, you know, infect other ants and shit. So,
no shit.
I don't think they've ever found a way for it to infect humans, but, you know, that's the hypothesis that, you know, something will mutate and that would happen. Frankenstein's Army was a really fucking... I saw it recommended somewhere on IMDb, and I finally found a copy of it and watched it. Really low budget movie. I don't know if you saw Gallivant at all when it was on.
No.
It was a... Only two seasons. It was like a musical, comedy musical that they had on for Fox something. I don't know. It got canceled. But the lead guy was one of the actors in Frankenstein's Army. Carol Rodan has a cameo as Frankenstein. Anyways, it's a found footage film about a group of Russian soldiers going into Germany at the end of World War II, and they're here. Reports of a man conducting experiments on people. Then they get sent in by their superiors because supposedly there's a distress signal going from another Russian unit. And the creature design was really freaking interesting in that it wasn't necessarily a good movie, but that's what I found interesting was that, like, the zombies he were creating were all unique. Like, there was one dude, I don't know, he was doing, like, fusions between dead bodies and mechanical creatures, and it was... just really interesting.
So it's, I mean, if you could, pretty creative, it sounds.
If you could find somewhere to just look at what the creature designs were, you could probably get, like, the gist of the movie and skip watching it. So,
wait, like, did you find it on a streaming service or just online?
I want to say I found it on Showbox, which is basically my go-to to find shit that I can't find anywhere else, since it's basically a streaming service that... I guess they have their own databases for streaming. But, like, if you go to download the stuff, they do it through Pirate Bay, so you're pirating at your own risk.
Fair enough. I'm guessing that's probably a similar situation with Put Lockers, but that's where I found some shit that I really enjoyed, and... I don't know, this is, like, a whole other debate, but I've always been of the belief that I don't mind whatever, because if I find a movie that I like, I'm going to pay money for it.
Yeah. I always try to support people who do good work or do things that I think deserve a chance to have a successor, you know. Yeah, I mean, I don't try to pirate, but sometimes, and if that's the only way that you're going to have to be able to see something, you know.
Especially, like, foreign films, sometimes it costs, like, $40 just to get your hand on a DVD, for instance, and it's like... Well, I'd kind of like to know if I'm going to like it before I buy it. That's all.
Oh, you know, like, for example, one of my favorite movies ever is Brotherhood of the Wolf. I don't know if you've ever seen it, the French movie?
Nope, never seen it.
They don't have a Blu-ray copy. So, I mean, I've got my DVD copy, but they've never released a non-region coded Blu-ray for over here.
I, to this day, I don't understand the whole region coding thing. That like, why can't they just all work? I don't know.
I just think the answer, and this goes for a lot of different things outside of movies, is just that people are dicks.
Yeah, like, it just punishes fans for an arbitrary reason. That's how what I get out of it. It really pisses me off when I find a movie that's, you know, it's available, but it's not in the right region, so... And it's not American. So, yeah. Fuck.
So the last two I had for honorable mentions, I tried to think outside the box because I figured there was going to be a ton of people doing this, so there was going to be a ton of the kind of common ones. But I recently went back and I rewatched House and House 2. I didn't even bother with Shocker because I think that was kind of shitty, and that was what House 3 was supposed to be. House did not age well at all. House 2, on the other hand, didn't age too badly, and you have Western zombies in that. So I was like, yeah, okay, let's throw that up there. You don't see that very often, pre-Wesley Snipes. And Blade 2, which I think is essentially Guillermo del Toro going, what if vampires could be turned into zombies?
Yeah. I can vouch for House not having aged well at all, because I tried rewatching, and I was just like... I used to like this, but now it's a chore. I honestly don't remember House 2 all that much at all.
Well, I mean, House 1 had William Catt, it had Martin Mall.
And George Wendt, right?
Yeah, George Wendt. I remember liking it as a kid. The sequel basically had Ari Gross and some no-name was his buddy. They had, what the hell's his name? Not George Wendt, his buddy in Cheers, Cliff, instead of Norm.
Okay. I know who you're talking about.
He does the voices for a lot of Pixar stuff, too, now. He played, like, that part in that. And Bill Maher had a slight cameo. That was the one where, like, his grandfather had found the crystal skull back in the day and betrayed, like, his posse. So the guy was coming back, killed his family to try to find it, and the skull opened up all the dimensional portals in the house, so they went to like the dinosaur area or the Aztec area. It was a lot more fun than the first one, but way less scary.
Fair enough. I like they included Blade 2. Obviously, I mean, you've already brought up Night of the Living Dead, but I mean, obviously, that's on my list. So I may as well just kind of discuss it right now. It's one of those movies. I could pretty much, like, I don't want to watch it every day or anything, but if I'm bored and I have nothing else going on, even if I just need background noise, that's a perfect film for me. It works for me every time. Just, I don't know, it's a comfort film, it's reasonably well done, all things considering. Have you ever seen the remake with Tony Todd?
No, I haven't, although I love Tony Todd.
It is on, I want to say, Tubi TV, whatever. I mean, I'm sure you can find it other places, but I think that's where I found it. Or Crackle. Actually, I want to say it was Crackle, Sony Crackle. So either way, it was free. And it's interesting. It's mostly the same movie, but with some slight, a few different ways of doing it. It was a good homage. It wasn't as good as the original, but it was good. And Tony Todd's always awesome.
Well, I mean, as he says, I don't listen to that soft-ass shit. So.
And it had Bill Moseley of, Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand Corpses fame as fucking Barbara's brother. I can't even
remember. So here's an interject I want to throw out at you. Have you ever seen Repo, the genetic opera?
I saw some of it, and I fell asleep, and I don't remember a goddamn thing about it.
Okay, well, A, I love that movie because I love the music. But I was just interested because the guys who did that, Darren, what's his name, the dude who directed Saw 2, and the guy who did the music who was in it, they've done a couple smaller movies I know that are on Amazon called The Devil's Carnival, which are interesting, nowhere near as good, but Bill Moseley's been in all three of them, which is why I was wondering because, he sings in those movies, so.
Oh, I did not know he sang that.
I didn't either. Maybe he didn't either before he did those movies.
Fair enough. Paris Hilton's in Repo. Gosh. I ran it from like Redbox or whatever whenever it came out. I think, I don't even know, was Redbox a thing in 2008?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I will say this, I watch the movie, I have the movie, I love it. But the best gift I was ever given by my employees, they gave me the soundtrack either that year or the year after for my birthday. And I was like, wow, you guys really do like me.
Shit, man. Russ, I finally got Russ to watch a horror movie that... Russ is trying to watch some horror movies with his son Zach, and Zach apparently is really into the Child's Play movies, and I recommended to Russ this film called Dave Made a Maze, which is on Hulu.
I saw the trailer and I read your review and I was like, that looks really interesting.
It is a crazy ass movie. Like, all I can... I don't even really know how else to explain other than it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, premise-wise, you have to just get all disbelief gone. But if you sit there and you watch it, I really think most people will have a good time. Not everybody, but I think most will.
I mean, the premise is so out there, it kind of reminds me of... Did you ever see Swiss Army Man?
No, sir.
Like, trying to explain that premise to somebody, too. It's just like, you just watch the movie, you'll understand what I'm getting at. So.
Fair enough. What else did you have? Yeah, Dawn of the Dead, which I was going to ask you, and I'm glad you explained that it was 2004. So I finally watched Dawn of the Dead from beginning to end. I don't know if I've ever... I feel like every time I've tried watching it, I get interrupted. But I definitely watched it from beginning to end. And while I had a fun time, it may possibly be like one of the most overrated films for me, like from a horror fan, because everybody seems to like have that as like an all-time great. I don't know. Like, I actually enjoyed the remake more. It was way more fun.
I agree. I mean, they did some things that they just couldn't have done back then with special effects and whatnot. But, I really do. I think the original is overhyped. I mean, that's why it wasn't on my list compared to Night of the Living Dead.
Sure, sure. And
I wanted to throw one more. I forgot to put on, but I just remembered when we started talking. Was did you ever see The Returned?
The Returned. Tell me a little bit about it. I'm looking it up right now. Sounds familiar.
The zombie apocalypse has happened. They've come up with a medication that can arrest the disease in people who have it. And then the medication starts going scarce because so many people need it. So basically people are normal, but they're on a time limit until they turn in back into a zombie. So
I don't believe I have... I don't think I've seen it. And so far, the first two of the returns I have
the
looked
movie
up.
Not the TV shows.
Yeah, there's two of them. There's two TV shows, so god damn it. All right, 2013 I am guessing is the one that I'm looking for. Crime drama sci-fi post zombie world. Yep, okay, there we go. No, I have not seen that. I was trying to like see if the poster looked familiar to me, but I do not believe I've seen that. And look.
Yep, that was another good one.
Yeah. I want to go back to The Girl with All the Gifts. For anybody that has, I think it's on Amazon Prime. This is such a good movie. Even if you're not a horror fan, I feel that most people should be able to enjoy this movie, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, it was based on a book that Glenn Close liked enough that she pushed to get the movie made, so...
I did not.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's she took like a reduced fee for, you know, acting in it. I don't remember if she was a producer or not, but you know, she did a lot just to get it off the ground.
Huh? No shit. Like, she's really good. The girl that plays Melanie is really good for child actor, especially. I thought she did great, and I like the first, I don't know, 15-20 minutes. You really don't know what the hell's going on, like why these kids are in prison cells, and you know, the whole vibe's very interesting until like you finally kind of get it, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't know anything about it beforehand. Did you?
I'm sorry, I just missed what you were saying. Our connection timed out for a second.
Ah, like, all right. What I was saying is that like the first 15-20 minutes with the kids, you don't really know necessarily what's going on. I didn't have anything spoiled, so I didn't know what was going on. So it was like a cool reveal exactly what the kids were. Did you know about it beforehand, or was it a surprise for you?
I mean, part of it gets spoiled just by seeing the cover of the thing. I mean, you see the girl with the mask on her face, so you know something's going on. I wasn't sure exactly where they were coming from. Like, I didn't know it was scent-based, for example. But I knew, you know, you could tell, infer, that something wasn't on the level in regards to the children. I mean, they don't normally typically lock children up to desks and force them to study.
Typically. Best scene in that movie for me was, I can't remember what the black dude's name was. He was in the, like, grocery store or whatever, and like, that whole scene is, it has to be my favorite scene.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the ones that started out really smart, well written, and then you see people just making stupid fucking decisions, and you're like, God, you know, they're doing this just for the sake of getting this guy killed in the scene, for example, the grocery store one with the kids. So
yeah, right. Like, logically, he would not have been right. It just wouldn't have happened. But they had to get some kill counts going and eliminate some people, so it happened. It was just like the kids. The kids were awesome in that. I don't know. I had such a good time watching those kids be ravenous or whatever you want to call it.
Exactly.
So, aside from that, I think we went through your honorable mentions. On my list, I'm just going to kind of stick with what I wrote down, because I actually looked at this list that I just kind of half-assed way back before I got into the whole zombie movie marathon of my life. And I kind of like the other two movies that we haven't talked about that's in my top five. So, Wormwood. Have you seen Wormwood?
Wormwood, I liked. It reminded me of a well-done Australian Resident Evil kind of thing.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't have Resident Evil on my honorable mentions, but I really liked Resident Evil. The first one...
I even like the second one. I mean, for having to stick to a video game plot within a movie, they did a pretty good job. But yeah, I mean, the further they went, the shittier the series got.
It really did, to the point where I struggled the last two or three films. They were, I still don't own the last film. I own all the other ones. I made the stupid amateur decision of getting a box set, which... People, if you're listening, do not get a box set of a franchise until you are sure that franchise is fucking done.
At least the nice thing I did when I bought the franchise Blu-ray pack for Fast and the Furious, when the last one came out, they left a space for it.
Oh, well, I mean, that's nice of them, at least. I sit here now, and I still don't own Jigsaw. I own all the other Saw movies. I liked Jigsaw. I just watched Jigsaw again last night, actually. But I'm like, I think I'm just going to buy it on its own rather than try to get another box set. But it still bothers me. It legit bothers me.
It would be nice if there was like a place you could trade in. Like, hey, I bought the box set when there were only three movies. And now there's five. Can I trade in the three set to buy the five set?
Yeah, promotions like that would be awesome. I don't know. I'll just say FYE or something like that. That more specializes in it rather than a Walmart or a Target that doesn't necessarily specialize in that.
Do FYE even exist anymore?
My understanding is that they do, although a lot got closed. But last I knew, they were still doing the Funko Pop cereals that had, like, Freddy Krueger and Beetlejuice and... I don't know. They're doing a Golden Girls cereal now, and the Golden Girls one. I was a fan of the show, but the cereal, it looks kind of stupid. At least the Freddy Krueger, the milk turned red. I can get behind that idea at least.
I don't even know what to say to an idea of a Golden Girls cereal.
It's white and blue. It's. I don't know, it's a cash grab. I think they were like, well, what would women buy? Well, women like Golden Girls.
I mean, I don't really remember too much of the exact show. I mean, I remember it was funny. I think the biggest thing I remember about Golden Girls was there was this one episode of Elf where he got kicked out of the house and he couldn't watch TV and he was living in the laundry room. And he was doing, like, sock puppet TV. And, like, Willie came out to have a talk with him and Elf was doing Golden Girls and he's like... One sock puppet to the other. He's like, well, Blanche, who are you sleeping with tonight? And he's like, everyone.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'll tell you this. I remember as a little kid, we went down Staten Island to visit an aunt, and anyways, like, we just watched Golden Girls, and they called Blanche a slut, and I was so young at the time, I didn't fucking know what that necessarily meant, and everybody laughed, so I thought it was, like, this charming remark, so I called my aunt a slut, like, jokingly. It did not go well.
I can only imagine.
Yo, it's funny though, like, if you think about, like, as a kid, you have no concept of what some like terms or phrases mean, and like, if you hear people laughing, you just naturally assume, oh, okay, that's fine to say. No.
I remember too, I had a big problem with people would be like, all right, don't say this to whoever, and as soon as I saw them, I'd be like, oh, they said not to say this, huh? Not necessarily maliciously, but just like, I was bad at keeping secrets when I was a kid. That kind of shit. So.
Fair enough. Back to Wormwood really quickly. It's one of those, you know, Australia, this, like, since 2000, like, they've really upped their horror game significantly. And I kind of like Australian horror more than, like, French horror lately, I would say.
That's definitely a different taste. I mean, French horror, I think, tries to go for the auteur kind of films, whereas Australia, I think, just does what they can afford.
Sure. I mean, like, off the top of my head, Wolf Creek 1 and 2, Babadook, The Loved Ones. Shit, I'm already running low on this, but those were off
the
top of my head.
There was one I wanted to see... with Ryan Kwanten, the dude from who played her brother from True Blood. It was called Red Hill, and it looked kind of like a mix between, I couldn't tell if it was straight up crime movie or if there was like a horror element too, because like the way they were talking about this guy almost sounded like kind of like a Michael Myers kind of deal, you know, oh, he's unstoppable the first time that he came around kind of shit. So
yeah, it's a-
didn't they do one of the shark movies relatively recently too?
You're probably right. Whether I can think of what it is right now, no, I got nothing. But yeah, I'm fairly certain you're right. It's actually bothering me because there's like a couple other movies that I really liked from Australia that is just completely slipping my mind right now. But yeah, compared to French, which I liked, I love Martyrs, I loved Inside and Frontiers, but after that, it kind of goes significantly downhill for me, whereas, I don't know, I felt Australia had a lot more quantity. So, is Wormwood still on Netflix, do you know?
I want to say yes, because I want to say I see that cover pretty awesome often. Yeah, I mean, they had some really cool scenes. It had a surprisingly high body count. Like, I thought a lot of people who potentially could have survived ended up getting got, you know. I think, like, I don't know. I don't know if I was a big super fan of, like, the sister's arc at the end, but, you know, what have you.
Yeah, yeah. It was just a fun movie that I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. That's really the main crux of it. I feel if you're a horror fan and you turn this on, you should, like, 90% of horror fans should have a really good time with it. That's what I'm getting at.
It looks like it would be a shitty B movie, and it's actually a really good B movie.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I, once again, by the cover, you don't know what to expect. So, speaking of another lower budget movie. That's on my list. Contracted. Have you seen it?
Yeah. I understand why you like it. I just hated the main... She was such a shitty person. I don't understand why, like, anybody would like her.
Nobody really should.
In world, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Actually, I found the first, like, 10 minutes... or maybe even 15 minutes, completely, like, almost unbearable the first time I watched it, to the point where I kind of started doing other things, and then the movie sucked me back into it a little bit. And I just, you know, I fully admit, I didn't I didn't really see her becoming a zombie at the end. Like I knew something was up. I don't know, for some reason, zombie didn't really come to my head, and I feel stupid for that, but I didn't see that coming. I don't know.
Did you watch the sequel?
Unfortunately, yeah.
I mean, at least they explain, you know, what the hell's going on. I guess the hardest thing for me was, like, she really starts looking like shit, and, like, they let her work. You know, people were like, hey, you need to go to the hospital, like, your eyes falling out of your head kind of shit, you know?
It got very unreasonable, really, by the midpoint, or whatever. Like, yeah, under normal circumstances, something different would have happened rather than what we saw.
Like, when the dude shows up towards the end and he bangs her, and, like, her fingernail comes out in his back. I mean, that's pretty much right there a telltale sign that something's wrong with the chick that you're having sex with.
Yeah, that is the point where you say, you know what, this has been something, and I'm out. So, yeah. On my honorable mentions list, we've talked about everything. The only thing we hadn't talked about was the Return of the Living Dead franchise, which...
I've only seen three out of that, so,
Like, only part three, or you've seen three of
them? Yeah, no, I've only seen part three.
Okay, I actually just bought one and two off of Vudu, because they were both $5 a pop, and, especially the first one, it's just, well, first two, really, are very silly, you know, traditional zombies is what we thought of as zombies, like, in the 80s, as kids, like, just roaming around wanting brains. It's funny, because two of the main characters come back as, like, two of the main actors from part one come back in part two, but as different characters. It's really, I don't know, but they're, like, kind of the same character, just with different names. It was like, they didn't try that hard. I guess maybe that's part of the charm of it. I don't know. It's like, it's totally guilty pleasure 80s horror comedy. Absolutely.
Maybe it was something like with Red Sonja, where they couldn't get the rights to use Conan's name again, so they just had Arnold Schwarzenegger play whatever the fuck his name was.
Yeah, that is a possibility. I'm noticing on my honorable mention, you know, I don't have I Am Legend, and that really does belong on honorable mentions, for me at least.
Well, I mean, it all depends on if you go by the new one or what the original story was.
As a person that has not read the original story, it didn't have an effect on me. Let's put it that way.
Because in the original, because that's the third version they've actually made into a movie.
Right, Omega Man was the second one, right?
Yep. They're actually vampires rather than zombies. And, he's not a scientist, and basically the premise is he realizes at the end that, you know, this is like the new humanity, and he's the monster because he's just been fucking going around massacring them, like, every day during the day. While they've actually been developing, like, their own society kind of shit going on.
Oh, no shit. That's... And the thing is, I actually own it on my Kindle. I own the book. I never read it, but actually, I at least in I Am Legend, the Will Smith variant, they allude a little bit to vampirism, yeah. Just a little bit.
The whole not being able to go out into the sun kind of shit.
Right. The thing that pisses me off, and, you know, it's clearly intentional, but goddamn it, can't they just make it through a horror movie without the dog dying?
Didn't he live in Scanners? Scanners. What was the one with Corey Haim about the Dean Koontz book?
I don't remember.
Watchers. He lived in Watchers.
Okay.
He lived in Watchers.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think I've seen that.
Fuck was the motherfucking bomb in Phantoms?
I didn't like I Am Legend the first two times I want to say that I watched it. I thought it was just, I don't know, there's always the Will Smith problem, if you will. If you watch a Will Smith movie, you're watching Will Smith be Will Smith. There's really very little difference in his acting in any particular film. Realistically, if you're being honest, I thought he had a, I don't know, it was a good role for him, at least. Somebody with less charisma couldn't have done that role, I don't think.
He's like The Rock, in that they're decent actors, but yeah, they play a version of themselves in almost everything they've done. You know, once in a while, they go out and do something different, like you said, with Ali. I think he was pretty good in that. What was the one that just came out a year or two ago? I can't think about it, but I think, like, what was it? The Pursuit of Happiness, was that the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That actually was a good movie. I remember liking it, and now I can't tell you a damn thing about it, but I did like it. I think I own it. I was a big fan. All right. With that being said, like I said, I have a list of zombie movies. I'm all kind of look through them and just mention a handful of them that I felt we could have talked about for a few minutes here. I want to first start off with Scooby-Doo in Zombie Island. I liked the hell out of that animated film. It was like when Scooby-Doo first started like making movies, like in the, I don't know, mid to late 90s. And they kind of came back with different animation. I thought it was actually... I've seen that probably close to 10 times. I thought it was really good.
I, unfortunately, have never seen it, so I cannot comment.
Fair enough. I see World War Z here, which I didn't hate the movie. I kind of felt impartial about it.
I read the book. I loved the book, and it was nothing like the book, so I didn't even bother watching it. It probably isn't a bad movie, but at the same time, like, Brad Pitt as an action star is kind of like in the middle for me. He's had a couple of hits, he's got a couple of misses.
Fair enough. A movie that I... Alright, this is going to sound stupid, but I never once considered it a zombie film, but in a way it is. Pet Sematary.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. I guess original... Now it's the original. It hasn't aged very well, special effects-wise. You know, it's a decent movie. Jason Robards was pretty good in it. The new one looks like it's going to actually possibly be better, just the same way it was better than the miniseries, just based on time and production values, I think.
The big thing, in my opinion, it's all going to come down to John Lithgow's performance, because... not that I can remember the dude's original name that played Judd, but, I mean, he made that fucking movie, really. He was the best character of... He was what? He was the... from Munsters, right?
Was it Fred Gwynne?
Yes.
Herman Munster?
Yeah. Fred Gwynne. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's funny whenever anything like horror comes out, like a new trailer or anything, if it's something that people know is going to be big horror, that day I will get 3 to 5 messages with the exact same link to the exact same video. It really never fails, but I'm not complaining about that in the least bit. I'm actually kind of happy with that. Night of the Creeps. Have you ever seen that?
God, if I did, and I know what the story's premise is, it was a long time ago. I don't remember actually sitting down and watching it.
I think I saw it probably like 4 or 5 years ago for the first time. It was fun. It was, you know, just campy 80s shit, but I don't know. If you like 80s movies, this should feel fine. If you're not into especially, you know, younger people may not really enjoy the 80s movies as much as you and I do. So, I don't know. Zombie Strippers. Have you seen that?
I have not. I can't imagine having somebody working in my lap and having something fall off of themselves either. So,
I gotta say, I thought this was going to be complete and utter trash, and Robert Englund and Jenna Jameson really held their own. Like, it was an enjoyable experience. I didn't sit there and go, God, I hate this. Like, the first 5 minutes is so horribly acted, you're like, ah, Christ. If you get past that part and just make it to the strip club, you're fine. It's like the opening part's just like military stuff, but like it's so it's like worse than sci-fi original movie premise type shit. But yeah, otherwise I really actually would recommend Zombie Strippers. You know, there's a ton of nudity, there's some good one-liners. Tito Ortiz is in it. I think he must have been, that must have been back when he was with Jenna Jameson. I don't know. It was a fun movie. Zombie Night. Have you ever seen that?
I have not, no. Zombie Night? Like N-I-G-H-T or K-N-I-G-H-T?
Without the K. God, who the hell is... There's, I think, two well-known people, Anthony Michael Hall and Daryl Hannah, are both in it. It's not that good. It is not...
Is that newer or is that old? I mean...
2013. I'm pretty sure they play the parents. Alan Ruck is in it.
Yeah, that sounds like they're trying to come back. It didn't work.
It was a really bad movie. I don't even know how that made the list that I'd come across, but... let's see, moving on... I don't know. What do you feel about Army of Darkness and Evil Dead? Like,
I feel like they're less zombies and more demons, since, you know, every one of the corpses is possessed in order to become a deadite.
See, I would agree with you on that, because like I sat there and I thought about Pet Sematary and I was like, okay, I can stretch my imagination to say I understand why this is a zombie movie. Army of Darkness, I just didn't see it as that, so we're in agreement. The Rec series / Quarantine. You've had to have seen one or the other at least, I'm guessing.
I've never seen Rec, you know, the original versions, which I hear are better. I saw the first Quarantine, I never saw the second one.
Second Quarantine's not that good.
Yeah, I mean, again, I can understand why they label it a zombie movie, although I don't necessarily know if I would, you know, knowing the stuff I do about the further Rec movies, you know, how they resolve, so.
First of all, I will go so far as to say I dispute when people say that Quarantine is less than Rec. It's the same damn movie. It's almost a shot-for-shot direct remake. So, like, I don't know, I sit here and I struggle to say one's better than the other. I think if you actually hit play and just watch them side by side, it would probably be exact same movie, just in different languages. But, you know, then you split off into the sequels, and that's where Quarantine was terrible, whereas Rec 2 was fine. Rec 3, I think, was at a wedding, and I didn't like it. And Rec 4 took place on, like, a military sea vessel of some kind, and I enjoyed that. Even though it wasn't great, I enjoyed it. And I think all of them are on Hulu at the moment, all four Rec.
Interesting. I never really look at, like, the movies on Hulu. I just watch the shows. But I have noticed they do have a ton of horror that nobody else does.
I wish Hulu would update how they do their app stuff, at least, like, you know, through Amazon Fire Stick or whatever. Because I have to go through this freaking maze to, like, go over a few, then go down to movies, then go to genre, then go to horror, and then go, like... 10 screens to the right just to get to A to Z. I'm like...
Yeah, it would be nice if they did something just like HBO Go does, where you can just, like, okay, all movies, or movies by genre, and then they do it alphabetical, instead of having, okay, this is the ones we think you'll like recommended for you, and then this is a October specials horror movies, and then here's zombie movies, and then nowhere do you have, you know, just every single movie that we have in that category.
Right. Like, just make it more accessible. That's all I'm asking for. Just start us off with the alphabet and then be like, oh, you want to check out slasher movies? That's fine. Like, I'm cool that they have those subgenres. Just don't make me go through every subgenre before I can get to the what I'm there for. That's all. But I saw Slither on... I don't know. I didn't consider Slither a zombie movie. Did you?
Yeah. No, not really. It's almost more like an alien body horror kind of shit.
Kind of like the Faculty, right?
Exactly, yeah.
There is a zombie on Netflix called Dead Set. It's like a 8 or 10 episode TV show. Surprisingly not bad. That showed up. Serpent and the Rainbow, I'm guessing
you... Oh, I was going to say that. Yes, that was the other one I forgot for my honorable mentions. So, yeah. Not necessarily a really well-aged movie, but one of the only ones that we've talked about that actually talks about zombies as in, you know, where the word comes from.
Yeah, and Bill Pullman's in it, right?
Bill Pullman, shit. I can't remember who the bad guy was, but I'm sure he's relatively famous, too.
Yeah, I only saw that for the first time, like, 2 years ago. I just had never seen it, and I had a good time with it. I saw... on the list, I saw Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. I have it here somewhere. I haven't seen it yet. Have you ever seen it?
I have not seen that either.
All right. Rabid was on here. I don't even know if the remake of Rabid has come out yet. That was Cronenberg. Have you ever seen that?
Nope, that's another one I've missed.
I think you would actually, I saw it once, and then a few months later after that, I watched it again, because I really did enjoy it. On Netflix, The Resort with a Z as opposed to an S. That's some cheesy shit, but it's fun if, you know, if you're not expecting much. Have you ever played the game Dead Island?
Yeah, I've played it.
That's, I don't know, that's kind of what it reminded me of, it a little bit. Just the, you know, island resort setting, and that was it. Dead Girl was on the list, and I guess Dead Girl technically would be a zombie. Have you seen that?
Nope. That's another one I haven't seen.
I would say it's worth a watch. I've seen it 2 or 3 times now that I'm thinking about it, kind of ashamedly, but you know, I actually did enjoy it. The last zombie film that I have on the list that I wanted to bring up was a movie that I did watch just last week. It was called Rambock. It's a German movie. Have you ever even heard of it?
Not until I saw your review of it while you were talking about it.
For people like that are looking for a smaller commitment, it was only like 63 minutes. It is in German. I can't remember if I saw it on Shudder or Screambox. It was one or the other. It's in my review at 9deuce.com for anybody that's interested. It's low budget, but it's surprisingly well done. The only thing, the real big caveat is that the main character is so obnoxiously annoying, you may not make it through like 5 minutes. That's the only problem. So I don't know. I still would recommend it, but yeah. With that being said, do you have anything else you want to touch on with zombies before we move on to your pick of the month?
Nope. I think we've pretty much covered the zombie from head to toe.
I agree. So, you won the option to choose the film for the horror movie group at 9 Deuce, and you chose The Ritual. Why did you choose it? Had you seen it before you chose it, or was it just something you wanted to see?
I saw it in the first time in the downtime between when we stopped doing the horror blog for a while and then when we came back to it. And I hadn't really seen anybody else who had seen it. Like, I think I've run into one other person that I work with And I just wanted to discuss it because I think it had probably one of the most interesting creature designs that I've seen in a horror movie. And that, I mean, interesting enough that it stuck with me, you know, months later. Obviously, not a lot of other people saw it the same way, so.
Yeah, I was disappointed in the overall reaction from the group, because it's not a found footage film, so it's reasonably well acted. You have good camera angles, all that stuff. You have really good camera work. I don't know what the creepiest part is, but I think to me, when they first get into that abandoned house and spend the night there and all that, you know, crazy shit kind of goes on with, I don't know if it was Phil that was praying or whoever, like, that was all a really, really well done and creepy shit, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I had never really heard about it. It was one of the, I want to say, maybe the first crop of Netflix horror movies from this year, last year, that they started, you know, self-publishing. And I just, you know, overall, it was creepy. It was from an area of the world that we don't usually see horror movies from. The creature design was unique. The, yeah, it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't say well acted, but it wasn't poorly acted by any means, so.
Yeah, I mean, compared to some of the other stuff that people actually watch and or like that's kind of popular or whatever, this, I don't know, I had a lot of fun. I haven't read your responses in the blog, and I did that intentionally because I was going to ask you a couple questions that I think were asked in the blog. One thing that intrigues me is throughout the movie, the guy that keeps going back to the night that the guy got killed, he keeps seeing the dreams or the visions. Is it actually all dreams, or how is he seeing that stuff towards the end?
I know. I mean, at the beginning, it's I say less dreams and more just guilt. You know, he's reliving it. But I want to say that I think this creature, the Jotun, if you want to call it that, kind of uses that, pulls it inside from him. You know, that's why he's the one who's marked, because he's the one who's feeling the guilt and the fear over not having helped his buddy out. You know, whereas the rest of them are feeling anger and resentment rather than that. So, you know, it's pulling things from his subconscious. And I think it does. I think it shows that it can do that for other people, because, like, when his buddy got towards the end, and you know, it pulls the dude's wife from his mind, and he's seeing that instead of this giant hulking skinless reindeer with dead bodies that form its face. You know, I mean,
that monster that monster was one of the most unique things I have seen. I remember sitting here watching it, and I commented on it. I was just like, wow, this is something very different. It was from Norse mythology, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that actually, you know, is described as that in Norse mythology. I mean, the Jotuns were just the name that they gave to the giants. You know, in this, it's described as being one of Loki's bastard children, so whether that's true or not, you know, I'm not qualified to determine, but...
Why do you think Luke was able to get away at the end? Like,
because he finally, at least in my opinion, he finally turned around and overcame, if not his guilt, then his fear. You know, he didn't bow to the dude. He didn't give in. He didn't run away like the other guys did. He, you know, turned around and hit it with a fucking battle axe. So. Then I have a feeling that the other side is its boundary line was the edge of the woods. And when he finally crossed that between the two things, he was like, just like, fuck it. I'll go wait, you know, a couple of years for some other fucking camper to show up so I can abduct them and make them worship me in the attic.
I'll say the first time I saw it, I thought it was strictly a boundary issue. I mean, because he stops right there at the edge of the forest or the woods, whatever. And then I've now seen it three times, and I do believe it has more to do with facing, you know, the past and, you know, just facing the monster. Out of the four main guys, which guy did you like the most?
I would say probably Hitch. I mean, he seemed like generally the one concerned with keeping the group together, you know, looking out for everybody at the same time. Yeah, of course, that's why he's the fucking first dude dead in real life.
Yeah, Hutch was definitely, I don't know, he was probably the most liked. I really liked, what was it? Was Dom the one that fucked his leg up?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was such a whiny prick, but I don't know, I kind of liked him. I didn't like him the first time, but the second and third time, I actually liked Dom a lot more. Just in the fact that if you put yourself in certain scenarios, you know, there are times where you're like, yeah, I probably would act like, I wouldn't be completely reasonable in my actions and whatnot. And, I don't know, I kind of felt that Dom's character was actually very realistic.
Yeah, oh no, he was the one who spoke. I mean, if you have a group of friends and one of them gets murdered and the other one doesn't do anything to help, you know, see the dudes run out, doesn't bother calling, doesn't, you know, signal. It's not like they were super far away. They were right outside the fucking door. Yeah.
Yeah, and that opening scene, man, jeez.
I was not expecting that from, you know, something that was being hyped up as, like, supernatural.
Yeah, and that hit me off guard, and it was actually brutally shot how they did it, and I don't know, like, I actually, normally I don't sit there and, like, feel bad for people in horror movies, like, I don't know if that makes me a horrible person, but I legit felt bad. I think the dude's name was Robert. I felt horrible for him.
You know, not only that, but, like, watching this the month after Hereditary, it was like, the reaction was kind of similar, like, to Charlie's death the first time I saw this when, like, Rob got, I was just, like, so completely not prepared for that to happen at that point in the movie. It was like, holy shit, good job, guys.
Yeah, yeah, and, I don't know, for Netflix, quote-unquote Netflix original, I don't know, it had a lot to offer, and the pacing was really good. I definitely want to say the pacing was good. I liked the younger lady that was trying to help Luke out toward the end, and then, you know, of course,
the one question I would have, and I should have put this as the one of the bonus deuce because I was just struggling to come up with it, was, do you think she was supposed to be the woman whose purse they found in the forest from the 80s or whatever?
Oh, shit. That would have been interesting. I could see that. Like, I'll tell you this. The first time I saw it, and I don't know if I blanked out on it or not, or if I just didn't pick up enough on it, I didn't realize that when he went to that one room that, like, those old, super old people were actually, like, people that have just been part of the cult for fucking ever. I didn't really put that together for some stupid reason. But I'm sitting there like, why would you want to live to be that old? It really, fuck that, man. Like, I can't even imagine how old some of those people were in that room.
See, I mean, I think that's part of what, like, the whole idea of, like, where the fear of the thing comes in, because, you know, that's not a life, you know, just sitting there with your body decaying. But if it's a choice between being hung off of a, you know, a tree or being shoved up into a room and living forever without being able to move, I mean, I think a lot of people would be afraid to risk, you know, death at the hands of that thing.
Yeah. That fucking thing was terrifying. Interestingly enough, I'll bring it up after we finish this. I'm looking at the films that are recommended on IMDb, and I kind of want to touch on a few of them, because I'm guessing you've probably seen most of them. But do you have any final thoughts on Ritual?
Really hope they don't do a sequel.
Yeah, I hope not either. Ugh. Yeah, I'll tell you this. I had to watch... I didn't have to. I chose to watch the newest Blair Witch movie that came out a couple years ago. And then I was like, you know what? I'm so happy to go back and rewatch The Ritual. They're not the same movie by any means, but at least it's people out in the woods and shit. So I made that correlation, and it just... world of difference for me. So anybody that has Netflix, which is pretty much everybody at this point, if you haven't seen The Ritual, it's recommended by Chris and myself at the very least, for whatever that's worth. Looking at the recommendations, cause there's six of them here. I'm guessing you've seen most, 1922. Have you seen it?
I read the book. I haven't seen the movie, but it's on my list of stuff I've got downloaded on Netflix. I just haven't had a chance to watch it.
I had to watch it when it came out because it had Nine Deuce in it, and Thomas Jane. I'm a fan of Tom Jane. So I'd like the movie. I'm hoping that the movie's good for you. It's always tough when there's a book that somebody's read and then they watch the film. You never know what how that's going to change the opinion. You know.
Yeah, I mean, well, from what I understand, they did a pretty good translation of it, so.
Next up, The Witch. Have you seen that?
I have not, and that's one that I mean to watch. I just haven't had the opportunity or the chance to just sit down and watch it yet.
I won't spoil anything, but I will say this. The main guy, the husband or father, his voice alone is worth the quote-unquote price of admission. Like, he has like just a great voice. I if nothing else, I feel you should appreciate that. The only movie on here that I didn't really like at all was As Above, So Below. Did you see that trash?
You know, I watched it. I don't think it should have been marketed as a horror movie. It really wasn't that scary. It wasn't a bad movie. It was an interesting concept, but it wasn't scary by any means. There's like maybe two scenes that had any kind of scare quantity in them at all.
Yeah, it was more of an adventure film, realistically. I don't know. I went in not expecting much. I didn't get much, so I guess I can't say it didn't disappoint me. I hoped. Creep. I assume this is just Creep 1. I have not seen Creep 2.
I've seen Creep 2. Creep 1 was, if I had done a 3, it would have been The Ritual, Creep, and I don't know what the third one would have been, but yeah, Creep 1 was good, and I hit the ending, and it turned great. So,
I had the exact opposite reaction. I did not like that ending at all. I'm like one of the few horror people that didn't like Creep. I saw it twice, neither time it didn't do it for me.
You probably won't like Creep 2 then.
Fair enough. I'm still gonna watch it. Like, I will still straight.
they're actually making Creep 3 now, so.
Oh, I mean, good for Mark Duplass, who
I never would have expected like the kind of role to come out of him, you know, seeing as the other work that he's done.
Did you ever see the? It was like a sci-fi horror flick. Him, Evan Peters, Olivia Wilde, I think. Donald Glover.
Was that the Lazarus Effect?
Yes. Have you ever seen that?
You know, I haven't, but that, along with Veronica, are both on my phone to be watched someday on Netflix.
Fair enough. Gerald's Game's the last one of the five that I've seen. I loved it. I didn't read the book, so...
I read the book, and I liked it a lot. They did a really good job. It was a really good translation. It wasn't anywhere near... It's like, it's a scary situation, but it's not very, really like a scary story, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's a shit situation to be in, but I've had this conversation a lot lately where people are like, well, I don't know if you can count as horror, but this or this, like, you know, Ghostbusters or a film by U-Bowl called Stoic, and I always sit here and my answer to this is most horror fans consider Hannibal Lecter a horror icon. Silence of the Lambs isn't necessarily a horror, not necessarily at least, but
it's a thriller, but it's scary.
Yeah. And I feel that there's enough wiggle room where you can at least say that part of the film had horror elements, and I'm okay with that. Like, I feel people get a little too strict when a lot of films nowadays cross multiple genres, and that's cool. And you said you haven't seen Veronica. I've seen, like, half of it, and I really liked what I saw, and then I fell asleep, and I have not gone back to it, but I think, from what I saw, it was actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, I downloaded it. So again, I end up playing a lot more video games than watching movies at my job, which, you know, I probably shouldn't be saying anyways, because, I do my job all the time. That's all I do, guys.
I miss video games. I've not played a video game, like, on my TV set since September. I cannot wait to go back and play a video game in the worst way.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't... I'll have to see it, because people were describing it as, you know, the scariest movie ever, and they were saying, what was it, that somebody died while they watched the movie from having a heart attack from sheer fright. So, we'll see.
Okay, so I heard the same thing from the person. This girl recommended to me. She's like, my kids say it's the scariest movie ever, blah, 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 blah. Like, all this hype, I'm like, all right. Listen, if I've never even heard of this movie, no, it's not going to be the scariest damn movie I've ever seen. And by the halfway point, it's still shit was not the scariest fucking movie I've ever seen. Now, unless this goes into, like, some really fucked up, like, scary territory, it's not going to quite reach that. But with that being said, if you ignore any hype, I think there's enough there to have fun with it, so... another movie, because I'm never going to get to recommend it, because I don't know if it's ever going to hit Netflix or Hulu, but Ghostland. Incident in a Ghostland.
I saw you. Where did you watch that on? Because that was one of the ones that I was reading your review of that sounded interesting to me.
I end up finding it on Putlockers, which is similar to Showbox, okay. I think.
So, yeah, so just... look for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And without any spoilers, like, the film starts one way and then goes another way and then goes a whole other way, and the whole time you're like, no shit. Like, I had a really good time with it, and thankfully I did watch The Strangers Pray at Night, because had I not seen that, I wouldn't have gone to IMDb and saw the recommendations and be like, this movie sounds good, unlike The Strangers Pray at Night, which wasted Total Eclipse of the Heart. One of the few songs I've never heard in a horror movie that I always thought should have been in a horror movie, and they fucking blew it, man. Pissed.
Fuckers.
Like, when I mean, even the music video to Total Eclipse of the Heart is fucking creepy, and I always thought, like, a fun house, a haunted house, even like a slasher where the last girl's finding all the dead bodies, or maybe they're getting chased. Like, there's so many ways you can do that song in a horror movie, and instead, Strangers... It's just the showdown with the dude with the burlap sack versus another guy at a pool. Like, I don't even understand the relevance of how the song ties into the scene. That's how bad they blew it. So, yeah. A Quiet Place. Have you seen that?
Actually, we just bought the Blu-ray and watched it for the first time about a week ago.
Your thoughts?
It was really good. I understand exactly what you're talking about at the beginning, which got you, because you don't normally see that happening.
Yeah. That completely, I was like, wow, okay, they're serious about what they're doing. And I thought the movie was going to actually be quieter than, like, I didn't think there was going to be nearly as much dialogue as there ended up being. Not that there was a ton. But, I don't know, it was one of those few films that got hyped up that I thought lived up reasonably well to the hype that was in my head. And it wasn't like cliche jump scare film. Like, there wasn't, I don't even know if there was any jump scares, was there?
I think there might have been a couple. I forgot who I was talking to, but I gotta say too that like John Krasinski does the best sad eyes like I have ever seen in anybody.
Yes, he does. he does. I liked seeing him with the facial hair. He looked good in it. Probably just because I'm so used to just seeing him from The Office.
I mean, I didn't see the one that came out last year. What was it, 13 Hours? I mean, the only thing I really remember seeing him in before was, The Office, and what was that old school football one with him and Clooney? You know, the one where they wore like the leather helmets and had like the no padding and shit.
Yeah. What was it? Something like Leatherheads or something?
Yeah, whatever it was. Those are the only two things I really had ever seen John Krasinski before. You know, I saw him do a couple things on like the Tonight Show, and then like lip sync battles, which he produces. Yeah, he's a pretty funny guy. You know, I think his wife is extremely super fucking hot. So, and she was really good in it too. So,
yeah. She was very good in it. Yeah, the film was called Leatherheads. So yeah, I don't know. It was just, I think that was the night where I was just trying like anything that came out in 2018 just to give it a whirl. And although it was a mixed bag, I think I walked away happy with that decision. One other 2018 film that I did catch was Truth or Dare. Now the 2017 sci-fi a movie by the same names on Netflix with Heather Langenkamp from Nightmare on Elm Street. The 2018 one, have you seen either of them, actually?
I have seen neither of them. It was just, I wasn't really, like, turned on, not turned on, but, like, by the idea. I was like, oh, this looks like something, like, if it was on and I was at work and I needed to blow 2 hours, I would watch, but it wasn't something that I was going to go out of my way to go see in a theater or, seek out to find.
I don't think I could have said it better than myself. I mean, realistically, aside from October when I'm looking for things to watch, I definitely don't recommend the 2018 one. People who don't enjoy sci-fi original films won't enjoy either of them. It's basically the same freaking movie. I thought the 2017 had a little bit better of a plot, but it's basically the same damn thing, so whatever. Have you seen Happy Death Day? Because that's still on my list for this month.
I haven't, but I've heard good things about that one. So that's one that I hope lives up to expectations for you. I was going to ask you, I know you're not a super big fan of these, well, at least this first one, but have you seen Insidious 4 or The Nun? To talk about horror movies coming out in reasonably big series.
No, as I've only ever seen Insidious 1, and I did give thought to doing all four one day this month, and I still might. Just, if nothing else, it has Lin Shaye, and I'm a huge Lin Shaye fan. The Nun, no.
Like, I like the first Insidious. I can understand why you didn't like it, but I thought it was, relatively something different for when it came out, and it scared the shit out of my wife. That was pretty, I watched her, she started the movie, just sitting by herself on the couch, 30 minutes in, the blanket was in her lap. By the end of the movie, the blanket was just underneath her eyes, and that was all I could see of her.
That's great.
The second one wasn't as scary, but it was a pretty cool world building thing. Like they did a lot to tie in the first one, and like stuff you didn't even realize was in the first one that actually mattered to the second one. And then the third one was a prequel. I'm not a big fan of prequels. So I don't know. The fourth one I understand is like a prequel and a sequel to the third one. So it looked decent. My wife picked up the whole series. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. And, I thought The Nun was one of the scariest looking things in The Conjuring 2, and then seeing like what it looks like they did with it didn't really make me want to go see the movie. So
every person I've talked to that saw The Nun has told me not spend my money on it, that it was disappointing, blah, blah, blah. Which disappoints me because I really like Thaisa Farmiga. I like her sister, Vera, who did, you know, does the Conjuring films.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the Conjuring. I like the Conjuring 2. I thought Annabelle was kind of fucking meh. But
Annabelle sucked, Creation, I thought.
Annabelle Creation was pretty good. So
I've heard that the second Annabelle was a lot better than the first one. So
oh, they go way out past like the other four in terms of gore, at least, if nothing else.
All right. I mean, I can get behind that. Have you or do you plan on seeing Halloween before it hits video?
I probably won't see it before it hits video, but it is something that I'm interested in seeing just because of the way they did it, you know, like making it Laurie versus Jason, or excuse me, Laurie versus Michael, rather than, you know, just Michael killing fucking 30, 40, fucking 50 people, whatever.
Yeah. I'm not going to go to the theater to see it, I don't think. I don't know. Because for me, I don't know about you, but if I go to the theater, it's a guaranteed $20. It's like, you know, $9 for the ticket, and I have to get popcorn, and I have to get something to drink because popcorn's too fucking salty. I don't do the movie theater without popcorn. Like, I don't know if that makes me like a pretentious asshole or whatever. Whatever. I don't.
We have a thing down here in the theater that we go to closest to us, which is AMC, and they sell a yearly bucket. And it's $28, and every time you bring it in after that, it's $4 for a refill. And I think I have to see at least one more movie this year to break even on buying my bucket. So,
no shit. Every once in a while, dude, I'll go to the movie theater and just get popcorn and not go to a movie. I seriously, like, I don't know, something about movie theater popcorn, I don't know. It's irresistible.
Well, the good thing I have in that regard, at least, usually, is the fact that I have a son, you know, who's young enough that we can go see, you know, like all the animated shit that I would, you know, pretend I don't want to see, you know, because I'm an adult now.
Right.
I can go see it with him and it be okay, you know.
Yeah.
But anime stuff's fun. For me, my wife's been taking my son to see a lot of that stuff without me. So then I'm like, you know, like we went when Deadpool came out. That was like our Valentine's Day thing, and then Deadpool 2 came and she was like, I'm not waiting for you to have four, you know, to work your 4 days off. I'm gonna go see it without you. It's like, what? Why?
I still haven't gotten to see it. Have you?
Yeah, I finally saw it. It wasn't as good. The first one, I think, was a lot better. So.
And the first one was lightning in a bottle. It really was. I know at least one more thing that I wanted to talk to you about, or actually I think you want to talk to me about. We talked a little bit on Facebook about the collector and the collection.
Yeah, I wanted to tag that just for a second. In the differences between the two movies, especially the ending of the second one.
Okay. I remember the ending of the second one now.
Because, I agree with you 100% in, like, your review of the first one compared to the second one. The first one was definitely, you know, if you throw your mind out and don't realize, like, how the fuck this guy could do this when, you know, there's literally 30 fucking contractors working on the house that morning of the fucking shit going down. And then he somehow has managed to booby trap the entire fucking house, including stuff within, like, the fucking ductwork and within the walls and within the vents and shit. But if you throw that outside the movie, it was pretty scary, and they did a pretty good job, I think.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun horror movie, and if you don't know anything about it, like going into it, I didn't know anything about it, so I was like, "Oh, this is actually a pretty good, you know, idea." The premise was really good.
I liked some of the way they shot some of the scenes, where like you're seeing it from down below or from up top, and you're seeing like him following Arkin around through the room, you know, and that's how Arkin's, you know, hiding or moving around while the collector's moving to avoid being seen. They had a couple really unique / gross fucking deaths within the thing, although some just unnerving shit too, like the fish hooks. I was like, ugh, that fucking, considering how many times I've stuck myself with a fish hook.
Fair enough. Yeah, that there was a lot of brutality in that, and I'm a fan of seeing it. So yeah, like it was good. I really liked the collector, and then of course the collection comes out, and it's I guess you could say it's like more of the same, but it's very different. I don't even know if I want to say it's more of the same. There's traps, but I don't know.
I think I agree. Like, the beginning was super fucking over the top. Like, if that dude had killed that many people, there was no way all law enforcement and, like, every state in the country would be fucking showing up there to fucking assist in finding this dude.
Like, I seriously like to know which had the higher kill count. That scene or the scene from Ghost Ship. I don't know. Like, both had...
Yeah. Just when you, but it had some cool stuff in like the way that like the people that he kidnaps end up getting fucking manipulated to like almost turn into like almost fucking zombies, you know, for lack of a better word, into, you know, being like his guard dogs in his fucking house of horrors.
Yeah, I want to give props to the collection because I don't think I wanted to see the collector 2. I didn't want to see a carbon copy of what I saw. So they gave us something different. I didn't like it as much as I liked the first one, but I still liked it. And I'm grateful that they didn't go the exact same route. That was very important to me. I'm the whole ending thing. Like, why didn't she just keep dumping water?
I looked at like most of the movie and I was like, eh, this is okay. It's not as good as the first one, but you know, like you said, it's hard to strike lightning in a bottle twice. And then, you know, they got to the part where it looks like he's dead and they get outside and then you see the mask in the trash and you're like, okay, stupid fucking bullshit thing. So they can just continue to make a series. And what I liked about the ending was that it fucking subverted that shit, that expectation that you've been established mainly through, I want to say, like 80s and maybe early 90s horror movies, you know, where the bad guy pops up again at the end so you can have a sequel. And, you know, Arkin shows up at the collector's house, puts a gun to his head, and, you know, it basically implies that he's going to fucking torture and murder the collector, and that's going to be it. So that was what I liked about the ending, rather than, you know, the stupid part, like you said, or why didn't she continue smashing the shit? Or they finally, the two survivors get outside, and there you see the fucking mask lying there, and you're like, oh, he's still alive.
Yeah, I liked the implication that the job was going to get finished. When I first saw it, which is right when it came out on DVD, Blu-ray, whatever, I thought there was going to be a third one. I was like, oh, Arkin's going to get a turn to fucking torture this guy, and I don't know. In my mind, I had this whole like thing made up, and it never happened, which is fine. The film in my head probably would have sucked, but I liked the character of Arkin. I was a big fan of it, and the same director made another film called The Neighbor in 2016, and Arkin is the guy who plays Arkin is the main guy in that. Have you seen that?
I haven't, but I have seen that guy's actually gone on to direct, I want to say, 5 or 6 different horror movies since then. The collection.
Yeah, did he do one of the Saws?
Is his name Josh Stewart or something like that?
Josh Stewart is Arkin.
Yeah, he's gone on. He did like a Bigfoot one, I want to say.
Huh, I've never gotten into the whole mythology of Bigfoot. I don't know. A lot of those things don't interest me. Except for Troll Hunter. I don't know. That's a guilty pleasure of mine.
Troll Hunter I watched this year. That was fucking awesome.
It's stupid shit, but it really is pretty awesome. Like, I don't know. It's very, very, I don't know, very out there. But, yeah, the director guy, his name's Marcus Dunstan. And I was just kind of looking to see what else... Okay, so he did some writing for the Saw franchise, Saw 4, 5, 6 and 7. And, pre-production on Halloween Retold. Okay, so I'm confused. Have you even heard of this coming out?
No, I wonder. I wonder if that's something that got canceled when this one picked up.
It says pre-production doesn't have a year next to it or anything, so yeah, I don't know if that's interesting, I would say. And I also gotta say, the end of Collector, that song, the Nico Vega song, that was also in Bioshock Infinite. I was so happy to hear that song. I'm a big fan of that song. He also did writing for the Feast franchise, which, have you ever seen the Feast franchise?
No, I haven't.
The first one's really good. The second one's adequate. The third one, you know what you're going to get, but it's lost the charm of the first. The first one was really, really good, I thought. I would actually highly recommend the first Feast.
Oh, no shit. Balthasar Getty's in it, huh?
In Feast?
Yeah.
Dude, that movie, it has Dwayne Whitaker, who was also in... Dude, he's been in tons of shit. He was in Pulp Fiction, though. And Henry Rollins, Jason Mewes, Judah Friedlander. Judah Friedlander's been in a lot more horror than I ever realized. Like, he was in Cabin Fever 2, which was fucking awful. Although not as bad as the Cabin Fever remake that came out a few years ago.
You know, I've never seen any of them. They came out, like, in the period of time when... I don't remember where I was, but it wasn't... Didn't have access to them. And by the time I got back, I was just like, eh, well, fuck it, whatever.
The first one's still worthwhile going back to. In my opinion, I thought it was really, really good. And I always liked Ryder Strong from Boy Meets World. But the second one was such a disaster that Ty West was the director. He tried getting his name removed from the film, but he couldn't because some technical bullshit. And yeah, that movie was terrible. Part 3, completely watchable, silly. And then the Cabin Fever remake, I think, actually was more disastrous than the Evil Dead remake. And I hate the Evil Dead remake. It was really bad.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it either. It was almost like gore horror just for the sake of gore horror. When you're just trashing something that's like, as campy as it was, they really tried with the Evil Dead back. You know, I can't tell you how much shit I've read about, like, the production and the making of the original one. So.
Yeah. Have you heard the theory that... I can't remember who wrote it. Anyways, there's like this whole thing where the director of Jason Goes to Hell, which is Friday the 13th Part 9, got permission from Sam Raimi to use the Necronomicon. Basically, he wrote it so that Jason was a deadite. Have you?
I've never heard that.
I don't like that. I don't... And they were actually going to try to tie that in, but they could not get the... You know, two different companies own the rights to the whatever, so it never happened. But... I was okay with Jason and Freddy crossing paths. I don't know. I could see them existing in the same universe or whatever. Most crossovers, though, I don't know. I just didn't see the... appeal of it, I guess.
I remember reading a fan fiction on the internet, actually, back when fan fiction wasn't even called fan fiction yet. And it was basically a sequel to Freddy vs. Jason, where Freddy ends up basically getting Michael Myers recruited to take Jason out after Jason has fucked him over in whatever the fucking place that... I don't know if they remember if they renamed the city in Freddy vs. Jason or if they even named it.
I don't remember... They end up going to Springwood, didn't they? Or shit.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember if that was where it took place or if they just it was a nameless city or.
Yeah, I don't remember now.
But so anyways, in essence, he gets Michael to run to Springwood or wherever to fight Jason, so he can, you know, get Jason to lay off his head, so he can bring his body back to life. And like Dr. Loomis followed my, it was actually really well written, and I think it could have worked if they'd used like that as a basis for a sequel.
I remember before Freddy vs. Jason happened, you know, on the internet you could get some leaked scripts, and I remember this was actually supposedly one of the finalists for the scripts, so they didn't choose it, but I don't know. Once again, you never know with the internet what's what. But I'd read through that whole script. I actually printed it out, and it was really well done. It was actually, I would say, I don't want to say significantly. It was definitely better than what we got from Freddy vs. Jason, which, I don't know, I still liked the movie. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad, though. It just, it was fan service, and I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember that script, and I thought to myself, oh, this is good. It was back when I was going to college that I read it, and, like, I think you could only print so many pages in the computer lab or some shit. So, like, every day, like, I'd stop by a couple times and print out, like, 10 pages of the script until I had the full script. It was good stuff. All right, so... With all that being said, I mean, we've been on for a while. I don't know. Do you have any? Do you have anything that you'd like to do for a top five for a horror list? I mean, I have a million fucking ideas, but is there anything in particular that you might be looking forward to? Because
no, I don't know if I necessarily have a top five horror list. At one point, I would like to get one where we like sit down and maybe just go over like a franchise, you know, between the two of us. But
oh yeah, speaking of franchises, quickly, I just want to say once again how much I enjoyed Scream 4.
Really? Because I saw that the other day and I was like, God, this ending sucks.
I love Emma Roberts in so many awful ways, but yes, I love Emma Roberts, and I can't say I hated Scream 3, but I really didn't like Scream 3, so I liked how they kind of followed their own rules and stuff in Scream 4, so for me, I liked it. I also understand why it was the last Scream movie. I hope they don't ever make a part 5, because, you know, without Wes, there's...
Didn't they do, like, a TV series?
Yeah, but here's the problem. It was on MTV, and you can't get me to watch anything on MTV. I won't do it.
Was it even worth watching if it hadn't been on MTV?
I don't know, but I do believe it's actually on Netflix, possibly. Maybe it's not anymore.
Yeah, that might be.
But...
I don't know, like, what, like, off the top of your head, what would be the first thing you would say for top five? Next month?
I really was debating vampire movies. That was something I was going to do this month, but then I was like, no, let's do zombie movies. Everybody has an opinion.
Vampires actually sounds pretty good for next month.
All right, well, there's your official announcement, everybody. Next month, we're doing top five favorite vampire movie.
Top five favorite, okay.
Yeah, because, you know, I think people might be intimidated by me using the term best, where if I allow it just to be your favorite, then maybe more people will have an opinion, I hope.
It would be nice, yes. People, give opinions.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're listening to this and you don't have contact with myself or Chris, you know, just go to 9deuce.com. There's plenty of ways to contact me, go to the Facebook horror group. Like, there's just a ton of different ways to get a hold of us. So if you're interested in just even dropping, you know, just telling us what your top five or, you know, whatever, like, cool. Like, contact us. I'd love to have more people involved. You know, even if it's people I don't know, I don't give a fuck. I just enjoy talking horror.
I mean, top five vampire movies is so easy. Twilight, Breaking Dawn Part 1, Breaking Dawn Part 2.
You're ruining my list already. Jesus. God. You know what? I hate to admit it, I have seen Twilight not once, but twice.
I own the books.
Oh, man. I don't know. I kind of that's where did you wait? Did you own the books? Did you read the books?
I read the books. Yeah, actually, my dad gave me the books, and when he finished reading them, I was like, "Oh, cool! I'm Team Edward all the way."
Who's the other one? Jacob.
Jacob. Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
Huh. All right. Yeah. That is, yeah. That's that is some shit.
Hey, you know, I'm 18 years old, so I'd be legal if you chose me, but I'm going to wait until your daughter's old enough for me to date her.
God damn it. If I never have to see that movie... You know what? Actually, I saw that movie 3 times, because the third time I did it to review it to make fun of it. The first time I did it because I was with a chick and promises were made if I sat through and watched it. So that was worth it to me. The second time I was stuck at work, and that's what somebody wanted to watch. And as you can imagine, in a setting like that, you don't really get a lot of say all the time. So it was what it was. But the third time was definitely just to make fun of it. And now I'm ashamed.
It's okay.
But before I let you go, one thing that you know I thought about just a day or two ago. To me, it feels like we're ending an era of television and about ready to step into a different era. I got thinking about this, like, there's between Game of Thrones ending, Orange is New Black is ending, Rick Grimes and Maggie leaving Walking Dead. American Horror Story is never going to be quite the same beyond this season. Yeah. There's a lot of different big name shows. I don't know. Do you feel like this is kind of like an end of an era and possibly like the beginning of something new, or is it just business as usual?
I think it's just a transition, and I think it's going to be changing based upon just how we watch it. I mean, if you look at the numbers of people who watch stuff online or stream stuff compared to people who watch day-to-day shit, it's got to be taken into account by televisions. I mean, the whole Nielsen program is basically bullshit at this point.
Yeah, Nielsen's got to be obsolete almost. Like,
I mean, I know they still track it and they still use that to make decisions, but if you look at like day-to-day watching and then you look at like 7-day out, 30-day out, I mean, numbers grow by 10 to, you know, 100 times for certain shows. In addition, you have Netflix trying to, you know, be its own content producer to the point where they said, what, they're going to have 1,000 new things by the end of this year? For the total year, not just from now to the end of the year, but of shows and movies that they've done by themselves. You've got Disney starting their own streaming service, DC starting their own streaming service, all the individual channels starting their own streaming service. Amazon has paid $1 billion for the rights to do future Lord of the Rings stuff. Now they're talking about doing $1.5 billion for the rights to do Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time, which, you know, if they get it and they do it right, could potentially rival Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones for, you know, that top fantasy crown kind of shit. I mean, you're talking $1 billion to make a TV show? Like, when has that happened before? The closest thing that I can think of was when they did, what, 3 movies for Lord of the Rings for about that much money, and then it ended up making, you know, like, 70 times that back over the course of, you know, all the shit they made off of them.
The extended, and then the super extended, and then the super duper enhanced extended edition DVDs. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, not to mention the art books, all the like the replica stings and swords and the video games and all that shit that tied in.
If it's nerd stuff, you can just charge more because they know nerds will fucking pay for it, which I am guilty of at times. But, I mean, it's true. Like, there's really, if it's nerd shit, they do charge a little bit extra because they just know you'll pay it.
So, I mean, I don't necessarily think we're coming out an era. I think it's the eras are going to be changing. Because, I mean, you have people talk about Golden Age of Television, Silver Age of Television, Platinum Age of Television. And I think there's a lot of debate that can be made for, you know, almost any era for, you know, what great shows were. Because, I mean, things change. I mean, if you look back to the 80s, how many hour-long TV shows did you have compared to, you know, everything was half an hour?
Plus, most shows had, you know, 22 episodes in a season, and now most shows are 10 episodes.
Yeah, or 13, or 8, or whatever. I mean, I looked back, I want to say, one of the original seasons of Doctor Who, and there was like 67 episodes for the fucking first season. You know, or it was one of the first seasons where they actually did shows rather than like screen, or not screen, but the audio plays kind of shit.
Yeah, I mean, dude, there's, I don't know, there's plenty of examples from back in the day where, you know, TV shows just, you know, it was, everything's different now. I mean, we, if anything, this era probably should be called the binge era. I mean, that's really the most popular way of consuming television now, is streaming and binging, I think.
Yeah, it's so much easier to catch up on an entire season right in a row rather than pacing yourself out over the course of a year. And not to mention, when you watch the serialized stuff or the series that are on networks, now it's not just a winter break, you know, or, you know, the show would run all year long and then it would be off during the summer and pick back up next year. Now you have the fall break and the winter break and the spring break. So you could potentially have like a 22 episode season last from, you know, almost all year long rather than, you know, just basically 26, 28 weeks.
And, you know, another nice thing is that, you know, back in the day it was, and network TV still tries to adhere to it, but like, you know, the new fall lineup. But nowadays, it doesn't matter. New shows come on every fucking month, and it's just not as big as it was, you know, as a kid. You'd get, you know, fucking 30 different new sitcoms for every fall. And now it's like, it doesn't really matter. Want to start in February? We'll start in February. Want to start a new show in July? We'll start. It doesn't matter because they know that people want to see it. They can now just DVR and or whatever and binge it later. And I think that's good. It kind of helps balance the TV schedule in some ways.
I think the other big thing is that people just need to relook at why TV shows are popular and why they work. I mean, most stories have been proven to, like, 5 to 7 seasons. That's where you got to cap it. Instead of dragging it out and dragging it out. Oh, this is popular, so we're going to go 15 seasons, 20 seasons.
Yeah. I mean, shit, man. I mean, as much as I love The Office, it was abundantly clear where they should have cut it off. Same with Married with Children. As sad as it makes me to say that, very abundantly clear when they should have cut ties. And
I'm watching the last season of Supernatural, not the newest one, but the one that just got released on Netflix. I mean, it's like season 13. You look at like season 5 where they intended it to end. It should have just fucking ended there.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you're, I don't think you're a fan, but if you're Walking Dead, I mean, AMC now plans on doing this shit for another 10 years. Even if it's not, even if it's not the main show, they still plan on, you know, pounding it into the fucking ground for the next 10 years in the Walking Dead universe. And that, I don't know. It's interesting the fact that they could do, like, as obviously the next show would be a foreign market. You would think, like, someplace overseas.
That could be interesting.
It could be. It does make me wonder, though, just how long they're going to keep the main series going with, you know, just losing two of your
I thought I heard something about them saying that they were going to be canceling it after Andrew Lincoln and Lauren Cohen left.
They just poured a bunch of money into... why can't I not think of Daryl's real name? Norman Reedus. They just dumped a shitload of money. The big problem there, in my opinion, was they killed off Rick's son, Carl, and they didn't have to. They shouldn't have, because if you read the books,
he's still alive.
Carl's like the main fucking focus of like this next two seasons, and he's So if you guys didn't force him out, which you know there was false reports going around that Chandler Riggs wanted out. No, he just bought a home to be closer. He bought a house to be closer to filming, and then he got axed, and it just made no sense. And now with even more hindsight, knowing how Andy Lincoln and Lauren Cohen, like, fuck, like, they completely blew that. Like, just completely botched it. I'm not even as excited I'd say I'm a hardcore fan of the show. I'm just not as excited about it at this point.
Well, I mean, you could definitely see a change in quality once Frank Darabont left. I mean, he was what I think initially attracted a lot of people to the project and was what secured them so much money per episode from AMC.
It's funny because so many people shit on season two without A, knowing the full story behind it, but B, like, in hindsight, season two was actually really fucking good. And
No, season two wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
I don't think season three was either, but it just... It's one of those shows that just has too much filler. Kind of like a problem with a lot of people have with like the Marvel Netflix stuff. Like, you could easily chop 3 or 4 hours per season at a minimum and have a much more condensed and streamlined storyline.
Didn't they just axe, what was it, Luke Cage and Iron Fist?
Yep.
I still haven't watched any of them aside from Punisher, which I'm hoping that should be due back very soon, because I think it premiered last December or November.
Well, see, like, there's a lot of speculation is that now, because Marvel's starting its own streaming service and isn't going to allow Netflix to stream the stuff that Netflix doesn't have the rights of, people are wondering if that's why they're canceling all this shit, so they can get the characters back.
Oh, okay. We're going to hit this point, though, of too much. As we do all the time here in America, of excessiveness, we're going to overkill everything. It's going to be like fucking Rock Band and Guitar Hero was about 8 years ago or so. We're going to hit that point where there's going to be way too many streaming services. We're getting to that point now where, you know, individual channels are now like, oh, well, for $5 or $6 a month. That's actually kind of a lot of money, I feel, unless you're a hardcore fan of a particular channel.
They should give you, like, X number of channels, and then you just pick which ones you fucking want, rather than, okay, these are the basic ones, and now you're stuck with them no matter what, and then here, everything else is extra.
Well, Spectrum actually has that now. I think for $20 a month, you get all the major networks, and then you get to pick 10 channels. For $20, I think that's actually pretty reasonable, plus you get, you know, whatever on-demand shit. I like that. I still like PS View, but I don't watch as much TV, so I've slowly but surely kind of been considering alternatives again. What do you do for cable? Do you have cable?
We're forced to get cable because in order to bundle our internet with it, well, to get the internet that we want, we have to bundle cable with it. Like, it doesn't cost anything extra. I'm like, well, we don't really need it. But you have to have it.
That stuff's fucking maddening.
Yeah, I understand that whole argument, yeah.
It's absolutely maddening. But
I mean, I use an Xbox, so everything is set up through the Xbox, so you don't have to do anything with the cable box. We just, you know, we can do all the programming through that shit, so... I never really watch TV. My wife does. Once in a while, it'll be nice because, like, for example, the on-demand stuff sometimes has, like, things that, like, Hulu has lost rights to. So we'll be able to, you know, watch a series like that.
See, that's a big worry of mine because they Hulu and Netflix lost a lot of shit. If they're going to continue to, because now that people see companies or networks see the value in the streaming service, they're not going to renew with these companies. They're going to just keep it for their own channel, and it's going to get to a point where I don't know, it's going to be weird. The dynamics are going to be so different, and just 2 or 3 years from now, it's going to be a whole different thing again. This is really like, for what the 90s was with the internet and computers and stuff, I think like this decade is with TV in a lot of ways. It's weird. It's interesting, to say the least. All right, with all that being said, we were at this rambling point. Do you have anything else you want to say before we cut this podcast?
Twilight, Breaking Dawn Part 1, Breaking Dawn Part
2. I mean, are you going to include at least Blade, was it Blade 3, the one that had Triple H in it?
Shadow of the Vampire.
Is that the one with Nick Cage?
Yeah.
God. Have you seen Mandy?
I have not seen it yet, no. On that note, though, enough joyousness from Chris. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm looking forward to next month.
All right, yeah, next month we will be talking vampire flicks, which that'll be fun because it gives me some time to research stuff that I'm not 100% familiar with. I already have my list kind of in my head, but it'll change a little bit. So for that, for us, for Chris, for myself, please visit ninedeuce.com. There you can pick blogs or podcasts. If you're listening to us on iTunes, if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. Leave a comment. Anything negative, I just send to Russell, even though he's not even involved in this podcast. I just send all negative stuff to Russ. So please feel free to, do whatever. With that, I want to say thank you for listening and hope you have a great time. Bye.
Maybe Russ doesn't watch scary movies because his childhood was so scary.
Ooh.